For the morning, partly sunny and warm for the afternoon, a high heading for 80. Now 67 degrees in both Racine and Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We're starting today's program in really exciting fashion, and I am so excited to be able to meet for the first time a young woman by the name of Bellen Woodard. She calls herself a crayon activist, and she had something happen several years ago when she was just 8 years old that got her thinking about the color of her skin and about the color of other kids' skins and how all of those colors are beautiful. But sometimes we make assumptions about which skin color is normal. And ultimately, this interaction that Bellen had with one of her schoolmates led to her writing a book called More Than Peach and to creating, in a sense, a movement around this notion that we need to celebrate all colors of skin. So she is president founder of Bellen's More Than Peach Project. And we're going to be talking about this beautiful book and the story behind it in the next few minutes of the morning show. The book, by the way, is published by Scholastic Incorporated. Again, it's titled More Than Peach, Changing the World One Crayon at a Time. Bellen Woodard, we welcome you to the morning show.
Good morning.
I'm really happy to be talking with you. I love the book. And more importantly than that, I love the story. First of all, where are you from? Where do you and your family live?
I'm in Virginia.
Okay.
Northern Virginia.
Great. So before we find out about this interaction with one of your schoolmates that kind of led to all this, I'd like, first of all, for you to just, in general, describe the family in which you have grown up. Tell me a little something about your parents and siblings and what life in your family is like.
Well, all my siblings have skipped a grade, and my dad's actually an educator for middle school. Or he used to work at a high school, then he worked at middle school, and now he actually works at administrator office. And my mom helps me, and she does lots more too. And so I have four older brothers, and they're all really smart. They're kind of mean, but they're more importantly, we have a lot of fun. And I also hang out with my parents a lot, and I have two dogs, and so I play with them a lot. And so I love having my family and my friends and being able to hang out with them a lot.
Excellent. Right. And at the back of the book, we see not only a picture of you, but we see a photo of you with your four older, tall brothers. And you look like a fun and loving family. So
I actually only have two of my brothers in that picture. Then the rest are my my grandpa's.
I see. I gotcha. Great. So at any rate, it's important for us now to learn the story about what happened one day at school that led to you creating this this book and this whole idea of More Than Peach. So it sounds like it started out as a fairly normal school day. And tell us what happened.
So when I was in third grade, so obviously I've been hearing people calling the peach crayon the skin color crayon for the whole time I was in elementary school. And one day when I was in third grade, it just kind of got to me. And I just noticed, I was like thinking to myself, this is confusing because I know there's not just one skin color, and that's not just the peach or brown. And so when I came home that day, I had a conversation with my mom. And I was telling her how kids were calling the peach crayon the skin color crayon. And I told her I knew there was more than one skin color than just the peach and brown. And so she suggested next time for me to hand over the brown crayon instead of the peach. And I decided I didn't want to do that. So instead, I told her next time I'm going to ask what color they want, because it could be a number of any different beautiful colors. And so when I went back to school, I started using that language, and my teacher caught on, and then eventually my whole class, and then my whole school. And I thought if I could make this change in my community, I can make it across the world. Hmm. And so that's when I started my More Than Peach project. And
So when that schoolmate asked for you to pass the skin-colored crayon, and in a sense, you knew what he was asking for. You knew what color his skin was, and you knew what he was asking for. And so you hand over that peach crayon, even though you know that crayon's not the color of your skin. It's the color of his skin. And so he's kind of making an assumption. Do you feel like what he was saying, would you call that an innocent mistake he was making, or do you think there was maybe something more serious going on there?
Yeah, I think it was just a mistake because, I mean, I did that too, to be honest. I would just hand over the peach crayon too because I think everyone just kind of learned it that way. And everyone just, that was just the way we did stuff as like 8-year-olds, I guess. And so we didn't really know there was anything wrong about it. And so it wasn't really until I really just noticed it that I realized there was something wrong. But, I think it was just us not really just not knowing.
Right. I think one of the interesting things about this is that one of the things that you could have done was to get angry. I mean, to maybe even yell at that schoolmate and say, that is really dumb. Why are you calling it that? And so on. And maybe even a little part of you was mad. Or maybe hurt, but you decided not to respond with anger. Tell us about that decision that you made to respond in the way that you did.
Yeah, so I wasn't really sad or upset or angry or any of, like, I wasn't upset. I decided to just take it as a moment to teach someone something, and I was feeling confused more than anything. And I've always been like someone to really like solve something when I felt something was wrong. And so I just took that, and that's exactly why I had my conversation and thought of a solution.
And I should say that there's a page in the book that describes this encounter in your book, More Than Peach, where the character that represents you is saying, this question didn't seem to bother my teachers or my friends. Why was I the only one feeling confused? So that is what you were feeling in that moment. So tell us a little more about how you broached the topic or what you said the next time to try to get your classmates to think about colors in a little different way.
Can you repeat that, please? Sorry.
So tell us the kind of things that you said to your classmates to get them to think a little bit more about colors and crayons and so on. I mean, what did you say to them and how did you say it?
Well, I would ask them what color do they want, because I know it could be any different color. And so that's actually why later I created my own crayons and my own multicultural, or just my own skin color line with rainbow colors too. But all my skin color crayons and color pencils, art supplies, sorry, are all named after a natural landmark, but they also have a some name of skin color, so that when people pick them up, or kids pick them up, or anyone actually, they can know that whatever they're picking up is skin color, the other ones are skin color, and they're all skin colors. And so, and it's important to know that I created my own crayons with it, so that it can tell a story, the brand can tell its own story, and to really just spread the language.
Right. So there are these crayons that you have helped develop that can, in which people can shade in with whatever color they think is exactly right for that particular person. But it reminds all of us that skin color comes in all kinds of different and beautiful shades, and they're all beautiful. Tell us what the process was like to turn your story into a beautiful children's book. And how did you do that? And what kind of help did you get to figure out how to tell this story in this format?
Well, I started writing during quarantine. So during 2020, when we were shut down, when schools were shut down. And so I started writing that. And then me and my mom had all these calls, and we just started, like, the process. It's been a really long process because, obviously, like I said, it's been about 2 years. And then we started finding our illustrators, and then, which is Fanny Liam. And she did a great job with the illustrations. And we actually got to work really closely. Like, we got to have a lot of calls and work together, and I actually found out that not everyone gets to do that, so I'm really lucky that I got to work with her really closely. And Scholastic also helped me, and they they were the whole publisher of this book, and I actually just went to Scholastic 2 days ago now. But and we worked really closely with Scholastic, and we've been on so many calls. And it's been a great time partnering with them, and I know we're going to continue to partner.
That's fantastic, and it's really a beautiful book, and I do love the illustrations by Fanny Liam. They really help the story very vividly. I think it's really neat that at the end of the book, More Than Peach, you talk about the way in which all of this has been kind of put together in terms of developing this line of multicultural crayons, and then you give some advice on how maybe other students, other young people like yourself, can start their own drives about issues or concerns that they have. And you even have a list of 8 or 9 different suggestions on things for them to be thinking about. Why don't you share a couple of the main ones that you think are really important for kids to think about if they want to try to mount a drive and make a difference like you have?
Well, I think the most important one is to talk about it with someone that you trust and have conversations with your parents, your teachers, really anyone. And because conversations can definitely help. And if you're passionate about making a change, then you should be able to just continue to believe in the power that you hold and of you and kidhood. And I also just say trust yourself, and that don't let anything to stop you, and just keep at it.
Right. I think advice number one is interesting, which is start small. And I suppose some people, when they see a problem, they're tempted to maybe start big. And you think there's something to be said with starting small. And I suppose that's the story of More Than Peach, is that all of this, in a way, started in a very small and simple yet meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. So, Yeah, so starting small just means that, like, well, obviously when you first start, you're not just going to have a billion people following you, and you're not going to have all these supporters right away. And so you have to continue to make sure you grow and to start with just maybe just start with brainstorming and how you can continue to grow this project, organization, and have a purpose of why you're doing it. And the purpose is definitely really important, because the purpose can help a lot, lots of people, and not only yourself, but as I said, just a lot of people.
Mm. Well, if people want to know more about you and about your project, I know you have a website, morethanpeach.com, in which people can also learn about your multicultural crayons. And, of course, they can also learn a little bit more about this beautiful book, which, again, has been published by Scholastic, and it's titled More Than Peach, Changing the World One Crayon at a Time. And its author, Bellen Woodard. Bellen Woodard, it was great to meet you. I love your book, and I love your story. What a difference you're making in the world. Keep at it, and thank you for being part of the morning show today. I was really happy to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
The time is 8:27, and it's time for part two of today's morning show here on WGTD. And I am really, really excited that for part two of today's program, I can be speaking with one of the best-known singers here in southeastern Wisconsin, Betsy Ade. She and her band, the Well-Known Strangers, are indeed well-known, and not just here in southeastern Wisconsin. And many of you probably remember the exciting singing that Betsy Ade did on the television show The Voice back in, was that 2019?
Yep.
Seems like yesterday in some ways. Betsy Ade and her band, The Well-Known Strangers, are about to embark on a really exciting musical adventure this coming Saturday, the 30th of July, when in Petrifying Springs, adjacent to the beer garden there, they're going to be performing with the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra. The Kenosha Symphony will be playing its own set starting, I think, at 6, a bunch of kind of all-American favorites, Aaron Copland and so on. And then 7:30, the symphony will be collaborating with Betsy Ade and the Well-Known Strangers. And I'm so happy that Betsy was willing to come in this morning into the studios to talk a little bit about this collaboration, an unexpected but really exciting collaboration that people can come and enjoy free of charge this Saturday. Betsy Ade, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. It's great to be here again. Thanks for having me.
I'm really glad we can have a conversation about this. First of all, just say a little word about life since The Voice. And, of course, life since The Voice did include a little thing called COVID.
Yes, we did have
which
that.
Was a complication.
It was, yes. Well, I came off the show pretty on a high, and we started booking some things, and we got a little more attention because of the show, which I'll forever be grateful for. I think that's the best thing that came from that. And then COVID happened. We had to kind of shut down, and it slowed down our process, but it didn't stop us for sure. We kind of got into some home recording studio stuff. So, you know, everybody had to learn something new during that time, and that was a gift that we were thankful for. Mm. We sat down, we wrote a bunch of songs, and kind of revisited some songs that we put away for a while, and started a whole new album. So it's been great. I mean, it's really been wonderful since The Voice.
That's so cool. So if you go on your website, somewhere there, the description, I think, of the Well-Known Strangers, your band, is a cello-infused indie alt rock band.
Yes, that's the mouthful that yeah. we have to
yeah.
spout out.
I think that's really cool. Can you shed a little light on what all of that means, particularly for the sake of someone maybe not all that well-versed in music? And mm-hmm. for that matter, even somebody who's well-versed in music might still not be able to kind of unlock all of that.
Sure. Well, we have a cellist. And I think that we're a basic rock band. But when you add the strings, especially when you're recording with strings, there's so many different layers that you can put on. You could pretty much create your own little symphony if you mm-hmm. have the right tools. But it's a little, it's hard to explain our music. It's and I think that was kind of a problem when we had management a couple years back, where they weren't really sure how to push. You kind of have to pick a genre and go that route. A little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll, a little bit of, you know, classical music in there. So, you know, we have a drummer. We have a wonderful drummer, Scott Fox. John Coolis is our bassist. Joe Adamek is on acoustic guitar, which he has a beautiful guitar. Actually getting another one for the hard rocker kind of songs that we have. And we have Haven Wells now, which she plays the keys and does the background vocals. And Cameron Fair is our cellist, and he's been classically trained. He's majored in cello performance at Parkside, and he is really instrumental in the kind of different string, I guess, the way to explain our music, what makes it difficult is kind of what he does. So,
yeah, that's the unexpected element, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And I guess it allows you to kind of pivot in a lot of different ways. Mm. And do I remember that cello's been part of the mix right from the start of Well-Known Strangers?
Yes, it has been. We've gone. He was our second cellist. We had Sasha Jerome. She was our first one, and he's been with us for 4 years now, I think. So, and we have a song called "Awaken" that he wrote pretty much from just a little cello riff, and we kind of layered things from that, but.
Do you remember how the idea came to you or your co-founders or whatever in terms of, you know, as you were putting Well-Known Strangers together? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just wonder, how did the moment come up where it was, well, now all we need is a cellist?
Yeah.
I mean, because, I mean, of course, most people, when they're putting a rock band together, getting a cellist does not even come up in the conversation.
Yeah. Well, Joe kind of had this idea. I was with another band, and Joe was in a ton of other cover bands, so he kind of wanted to do something on his own. So I was going back and forth with performing with this other band and writing with him. And we both just have a crazy admiration for cellos. I don't know, it was just something that him and I shared right off the bat after just talking about, okay, let's write this song. You know, it would sound really cool is a cello. Let's try to get a cellist. So it was instrumental in the creation of our music, I mean, right from the beginning. So
fantastic. Yep. Well, I guess that helps explain then maybe a little bit about the notion even occurring to anybody that Betsy Ade and the Well-Known Strangers should perform with a full symphony orchestra. Mm-hmm. Any idea of when that idea first came to you or Joe or whoever?
We all have seen our favorite artists perform with either like a quartet or a symphony. My favorite artist is Brandi Carlile, and she does it all the time. And so it's always been in the back of our heads, like, maybe we could do that. I mean, that would kind of be cool. But we had a performance at Pets a couple of years ago, and Nancy from the Parks Department, we just started talking about it. And this was a couple of years back. And from that, she thought it was a good idea. She pitched it to her team, and here we are. And I think, like, that's the beauty of this experience is having something that, creating something from nothing. And that's the beauty of songwriting, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing was there, and you start talking about it, you start writing things down, you practice, you make mistakes, you start over, and then you end up with this beautiful thing. And I can't tell you how emotional I am about this experience that we're going to have on Saturday. So
yeah, it starts with a blank page.
Exactly.
We're speaking with Betsy Ade. Betsy Ade and the Well-Known Strangers, her band, are going to be collaborating this Saturday with the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra. It's actually a really big event that starts at 4 and ends at 9. But for our purposes, in terms of specifically the Kenosha Symphony, they play their own set of music of Aaron Copland and Leonard Bernstein and other American composers from 6 to 7. And they'll take a little break, and then 7:30, they'll be joined by Betsy Ade and the Well-Known Strangers, and they'll be performing 12 of your band's originals.
Actually, 11.
11.
Yep, we got 11 songs.
Okay, something.
And Spare Animals is actually going to open up. They're a duo.
Ah.
So they're going to play for, I think, half an hour, 45 minutes before. So
very good.
And the KSO and then us.
Great. Somebody talked to somebody, and this agreement was made that, yes, let's the Kenosha Symphony and Betsy Ade and the Well-Known Strangers will share the stage. So then the question comes up of what you're going to perform and how are you going to involve the symphony. And it sounds like that involved some of you in the band actually putting arrangements together. No small feat. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, I could speak very little about it because Joe Adamek, the guitarist, and Cameron Fair, along with someone that I had and I was in contact with, her friend Lisa Creason, her name is, she helped put the scores together. That was something that Cameron had some experience with, but Joe had no idea what he was doing, and he figured it out.
Wow.
Which was very, very amazing. So we had a rehearsal with them a couple days ago. And there were some things that we had to work out, which are recently we had to iron out some details. But it's very different singing with the symphony orchestra. There were a couple intros that they put in that you don't hear on our album. So just to make it a little interesting, and so we have to, you know, have to count and watching the conductor and making sure Scott is on the rhythm with everybody. So
right,
I think
probably one of the biggest differences between your world and that world is that when all of you are together, that is you and your band. How many musicians are we talking about?
Oh, gosh.
6 or 7 or 8?
Oh, in our band?
Yeah,
6. We have 6.
Six.
In our band.
Mm-hmm. And so, and there can be, and not that things aren't tight and sometimes planned, but there is a certain spontaneity in that you kind of go with each other that's really possible.
Right.
And even a string quartet can do that, but not a full symphony orchestra. There has to be a sense of this is what we need to have happen. And of course, the conductor can make adjustments, but it is a different beast. It's
most definitely.
It's like steering an ocean liner instead of a rowboat.
in terms of being the flexibility. Yeah. Absolutely.
You were telling me before we went on the air that this rehearsal with the orchestra was really profoundly moving for you. I mean, even more so than you were expecting.
Absolutely. It was. I knew it was coming, and, we sat and we had a couple handfuls of Zoom meetings about it. There's a lot of details that you have to iron out. So it was bubbling. In every Zoom meeting I was there, I was like, let's talk about it. Let's get it done. What do I need to do? So I think the anticipation of it actually coming to fruition was something that, was moving slowly inside of me, and it all came out. We rehearsed at Kemper Center, the Simmons Gymnasium, and that room is just beautiful. You go in there and you whisper, and the acoustics are just like gorgeous.
Yeah,
and so it kind of started when we walked through the door
before you'd even heard the symphony play.
Yeah, they started warming up, and I just felt my voice shaking a little bit, and we left. They were doing their own rehearsal. We left just to hear them in the room and the professionalism, and they're just spot on. They're so good. So it just kind of started there, and then it was our turn. We got up on stage, and they tuned up, and then they started the intro to Aligned, and I don't remember crying like that. It's been a long time.
Wow.
It was just, I could barely get through the song, and it ended, and I got my stuff together, and I got to work. So.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's cool. Well, I think just about anybody, the first time they get to stand in front of an orchestra and sing with them, it is a profoundly powerful experience,
but I
can see how it can be even more powerful when that's something you probably never even dreamt would be a part of your musical life.
Yeah.
So it's exciting for us to anticipate what this combination is going to sound like.
Yeah.
We have two songs that are on the program, two of the 11 that are going to be played on Saturday. That is Betsy Ade and the Well-Known Strangers with the Kenosha Symphony. And which of them do you want to listen to first? It's Aligned or Forever?
We just talked about Aligned. That's the first song that we practiced with the symphony. So that was the song I was really emotional about. And it's self-titled album, our first full-length album. And it is really about, and maybe this was why it was emotional, but it's about being okay with yourself, going through trying to get people to love you, trying to do your best to be a good person, and finally kind of letting yourself off the hook and being okay with who you are and moving forward that way.
An important message, that's for sure. We're going to listen to it right now. This is Betsy Ade and the Well-Known Strangers with their song called Aligned.
Bluebirds, and I feel fine.
Betsy Aide and the well-known Strangers with their song Aligned from, that's the title track of your first full-length CD?
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Great song. And boy, as I listen to that, I can really understand how you would think, yeah, this would be cool with a full symphony orchestra behind. I mean, probably not everything you do maybe would transfer quite so easily. Yep. And I suspect that was maybe one of the interesting challenges, is for you to look at all the songs you've done and decide mm-hmm. which ones would work the best.
Yes.
Is that a decision?
Yes, and a lot of the songs on this full-length album would have worked great. But we did, there's a little, you know, growth that we did in our next few EPs. And of course, we wanted to do some of our newer songs off of our newer album. Right. With the symphony, so yeah, but this whole album is just full of strings. Yeah.
I suppose one thing that helps this not seem strange, I mean, it was different and exciting, but not strange, because you still had the well-known Strangers with you. Mm-hmm. So, like, they were backing you up, and then backing all of you up was this symphony, versus if it was just Betsy Aide standing in front of the Kenosha Symphony, mm-hmm. and if they were trying to evoke that same sound, it would probably sound like a completely different song and be terribly disconcerting. So I suspect that all of these songs still felt like the real thing. Can you put your finger on anything in particular that the symphony added to the mix that made it musically so satisfying for you?
They sound perfect. Like they just and the room that we were in just filled. Like you could physically feel the music in the room, and I think just that, just the pure power and perfection of how they perform is just like it. Yes, we were up on stage together, and it's nice to like be moving and, you know, doing the same thing we usually do, but to have that type of force behind you, you could physically feel it, you know.
Wow. So well, it's a lot of musicians and all making a you know, a mighty and beautiful sound.
Mm-hmm.
So one of your more recent songs that I know is in the mix is a very poignant song of yours called Forever. And mm-hmm. I was watching the video of it earlier this morning, and I found it profoundly moving. Can you just say a quick word about
sure.
what inspired this song, and then we'll hear it then.
Yep. So this next album that we're working on is little clips, big clips of things that happen in my life, kind of like a diary. And from what I remember, one of the biggest, most influential experiences that I've gone through is the death of my mother when I was nine. Mm. And we have one of the scenes in the video is an actual scene that is burned in my memory for forever. Is actually going into the hospital with my dad and my brother, walking in her room. She slipped into a coma and we had to let her go. But my dad brought my brother and I into the room to say our goodbyes. And so I tried to get that moment. We had some family members help with. My dad picks me up, takes me away. It was very quick. And so the song is about that experience, but also the feeling of having someone still around. You know, they live with you even though they're gone. You see them, you know, if a bird comes to visit you, everybody has their kind of symbolism and things
sure.
like that. But I do still hear her when I'm, you know, kind of not acting right. Like, check yourself. Who are you? This is not you. Come on. So that's what this song is about.
So when we lose people, we haven't really lost them. They're still with us. So the song is Forever. And again, this is Betsy Ade and the Well-Known Strangers, one of the songs they will be performing this Saturday with the Kenosha Symphony.
Thank you.
the song Forever, Betsy Ade and the Well-Known Strangers, and this is one of the songs that they will be performing with the Kenosha Symphony this Saturday. Really, really powerful, and it's going to be interesting, I suppose, when you get to Petrifying Springs, and you're doing all of this in the open air, mm-hmm. so things will probably feel a little different and look a little different, but it's going to be really, really exciting to see what this collaboration means. Before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to just say a quick word about something really exciting that you and your band undertook, a two-week tour of Scotland.
Yes, sir.
Why Scotland, of all places?
Well, it started with our contact with J.J. McAuliffe. He owns a pub in Racine.
Yeah.
And
sure.
He is very close with a couple bands that perform out there, really big bands, mm-hmm. Scary Boar and the Red Hot Chili Pipers, which they're an amazing band. Actually, they are performing tonight at McAuliffe's.
Ah.
So I'm going to pop over there to see them. Again, it was a couple years in the making, just starting the conversation, and JJ toured with a couple of those bands a few times, so he kind of had he made contacts all over the place. So talking to people in those two bands, we kind of made it happen. There was a lot of conversation, a lot of planning. Vic Sierra, our tour manager, and JJ and Joe Adamek, the guitarist, they were pretty much the guys to continue the conversation, to really dig in and see what it's going to be like, if it's even possible for us to do this. And we played for our money, to raise our money to go to make it happen. We had to front some money for the plane tickets and things like that, but we put on a couple house concerts. We just had one at Kathy Nevin's house, which was amazing. And a few of our fans, friends, family hosted, and we just put a jar out there and asked for some donations, and we ended up doing it. And I can't believe we did it. Like, this has been a really great year for us.
No kidding. So. Absolutely. That's so exciting. And more big trips to mm-hmm. beautiful places like Scotland are in your future. Well,
yes.
Again, in your future now, this concert coming up this Saturday, a free concert at Penoyer Park, right adjacent to the beer garden. All of the fun actually begins at 4 o'clock and lasts until 9. But very specifically, the Kenosha Symphony playing at 6, and Betsy Ade and the Well-Known Strangers doing a set of 11 of their original songs with the Kenosha Symphony beginning at 7:30. And the public is welcome to come and enjoy what promises to be a really exciting performance. And Betsy Ade, I really appreciate you taking the time in what I know are some busy days leading up to this exciting undertaking to be part of the morning show today. It's just been great to reconnect with you, and I wish you and your talented band members a wonderful, exciting, and satisfying performance on Saturday.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.